You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 31st of December, 2018. It's New Year's Eve, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. And we are very pleased to welcome back to the show Max Musson from Western Spring. Max, how are you doing? And a Merry Christmas to you for a couple of days ago.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm doing very, very well indeed. And Merry Christmas to you also. And hopefully you'll have a very happy new year as well.
Yeah.
As will we all.
Yeah, happy new year to you and happy new year to our listeners. But of course, we've got to deal with some less cheerful subjects today. We're going to be looking at the invasion of Britain, which really seems to have stepped up a gear over the last month. Really since November, there's been an invasion of Dover, basically boats kept ramming themselves up on the beach, boats being rescued. It's almost getting as bad as Italy had it up until Salvini took over. And there's also been hijacking of vessels and steering them all the way up the Thames, which I guess is the first news story that we should look at, Max. I know you've been looking into this one. I know that basically, it was a hijacking of a vessel, and that's the first time that we've actually had that happen in Britain. I know there's been hijacking of lorries. I've been following that since the first time a lorry driver was held up with a knife and forced to carry his cargo over into Britain. But now they're hijacking ships as well. I mean, that's new to me. That's the first time that's happened that I'm aware of, I think.
Yes, it was. I think it represents a significant development, because we've had all these people trying to make their way into Europe in the past and getting into boats and sailing across the, or you know, floating across the Mediterranean in order to invade Europe along the southern coast. And now what's happened is that those voyages are now between France and the south of England rather than in the Mediterranean. It's just that the process has been transferred to a new location. So I would imagine that there probably will still be boats crossing the Mediterranean, and then once they've got across the Mediterranean, they'll travel through Europe and then get onto boats and then sail across the channel, particularly as we go into 2019 and get towards the spring and the summer, when the weather will be finer and the sea presumably a bit calmer and the weather less inclement. But what happened I think it was on the 23rd of December that the British authorities decided to act, because in the days preceding that, this container vessel that had sailed all the way from Lagos had arrived in the Thames estuary, and the migrants that had been on board the ship that were stowaways and that had been discovered some considerable time beforehand, although I'm not quite sure, you know, quite when they were discovered, but they were discovered some considerable time beforehand. And the ships, initially they weren't violent, and the ship's crew had confined them to a room which, from what I've read, would have appeared to have been locked. So they were locked in a room, but they appear to also have been locked in a room where there was a supply of iron bars inside, and having armed themselves with these iron bars, they were then able to break the door open and then get out onto the decks of the ship and hold the crew of the ship captive
in the cabin?
The bridge of the ship. That's the word I was thinking of. They held them captive in the bridge of the ship. And when you listen to the reports, I had visions that there were perhaps a dozen or a couple of dozen immigrants that had done this, or migrants, whatever you want to call them, that had done the hijacking. But it turns out there were only four of them. And this is the thing that I find absolutely amazing, that four of them got out of this room that they were being kept in and had iron bars, admittedly. But there were only four of them. But there were 27 members of the crew, and the 27 members of the crew all decided to flee and lock themselves in the bridge. And so control of the ship had then passed to these four migrants with their iron bars. But as I say, it does represent a significant step in that instead of it just being migrants that are sailing across peacefully in boats and then trying to land on our shores, what we've got now is armed immigrants that are hijacking vessels. And we're now only a small step away from a situation where there will, where they could in future be boatloads of armed migrants that are, you know, coming ashore with the intention of using their armed might in order to get what they want out of the people of this country. You know, it's, you've only got to go back to the like the 9th century, to a time when there would have been Danish raiding vessels with Vikings that would have been landing on the shores of Britain, charging ashore, you know, proverbially shouting rape, burn and pillage. And really, we're getting quite close to that sort of a situation now with the migrants that are trying to get across into our country and threatening people with iron bars. The thing that I found most sort of disappointing with all of this is that once the authorities had decided to act, they sent four helicopters. So there were two Royal Naval helicopters, Royal Naval Merlin HC-3s and two Wildcat AH-1s, plus also some lifeboats. They didn't specify how many lifeboats, but there were a number of lifeboats and also a pilot ship that had another another sort of platoon of SBS on it. And anyway, during the course of the operation, 12 of the special boat squadron commandos landed on the ship and very swiftly disarmed these the four migrants with their iron bars. But you know, here we have just four people with iron bars, and it takes four helicopters, a pilot ship, and a number of lifeboats. And presumably, you know, there were a dozen SBS that landed from the helicopters onto the surface, onto the container vessel. It was also reported that there was, as I say, this additional platoon of commandos that were on the pilot ship that were there as a kind of a backup. So here we've got two platoons of SBS and four helicopters and a number of lifeboats and a pilot ship, just to disarm four people that are armed with iron bars. And you would have thought that, you know, I don't know, half a dozen marksmen just dropped onto the ship with modern day automatic weapons would have been able to have finished off the four armed migrants had they put up any kind of resistance, you know, very, very quickly. And it's just, you know, first of all, it's disappointing that the crew of the ship were so lacking in courage, really, that 27 of them fled and hid in the bridge, and then also that it takes, you know, all that all those soldiers and those helicopters and the ships just in order to counter those four. So, you know, had it not been just four, had there been something like 45 migrants on the ship, now, what would that have taken? So, you know, and with the current state of the British Army and the Navy, etc., and the Air Force, if it wasn't just one ship that was hijacked off of our coast, it was, you know, if it was two or three ships of that sort of size that were hijacked off our coast, each containing something like 45 or so armed migrants, you know, what would we have done? And it's a far cry from the days of, you know, the 1940s during the Second World War, when we had Home Guard volunteers all along the south coast of England. It's we're a long way away from that kind of a situation. And I think we've just now got to recognise the fact that Britain is wide open, and The border force, I don't know who's in charge of the border force, but I would, if I was in control of border force and I had totally inadequate numbers of men, and there was this kind of a threat, I would be knocking on the Prime Minister's door virtually every day, demanding that more resources are given to protect the border of this country. Because if you can't protect the borders of a country, then you don't really have control of that country. You don't, and a government can't rule a country that it can't control, and it's as simple as that. And so that the primary task of any government is to be able to defend its land and defend the borders of the country. And if it can't do that, well, it's not worth a light, basically, is it?
Well, it must have cost an absolute fortune to go through all of that just to take out these four people, these four hijackers. And there must have been collusion, absolutely must have been collusion there. Because you've got a big vessel there. They must have had weaponry on board. There is always a fear of piracy, especially in the off the coast of Africa. So they must have had weapons on board. I think the maritime rules of the sea is that if there's an intruder on board your ship, you can kill him. I mean, it's that serious. And it's an old law that goes back. So they must have had weaponry on board. The fact that they all just hid, that shows to me that there was collusion there, and that this might well happen again. But as far as the border defence is concerned, apparently they've got five cutters, is what they call them. Five of these speedboat things. Three of them are in the Mediterranean. One of them is in the English Channel. Just one boat. And apparently what they're kitted out for is rescuing invaders and invasion ships. And that's all. So what they would have been able to actually do with this large container vessel, I don't know. It must have cost an absolute fortune to have all those boats involved, all those special military personnel involved, when really, as you say, they should have just been picked off with a weapon. And it should have been the skipper of the vessel that did that. They should have had weapons on board. I bet they did have weapons on board. They must have. To have a huge ship like that and not have any security is ridiculous. It's just not possible, especially in Africa, where you've got robberies and hijackings and kidnappings and all sorts of things that are going on there. It's inconceivable to think that they didn't actually have any weaponry on board and that they could just be held up by four men with iron bars, a crew of 24 people. But it's not just the threat of people hijacking ships. Although I mean, to think as well that came all the way from Lagos before and managed to make it all the way up the Thames estuary. I mean, what happened to these four that hijacked it? I guess they're now dining at Her Majesty's pleasure, got a roof over their heads, got warmth, got nice clothing in the prison there, lots of prison food. I guess they haven't been sent back to Africa.
Now, they've been taken into custody by border force, according to the newspapers, which means that they'll probably then be provided with a solicitor at public expense, and that solicitor will be somebody who works for one of the specialises for working in one of these firms that where allowing immigrants to gain access to this country is their speciality, and they'll claim.
Legal aid. They'll have legal aid as well.
They'll be claiming legal aid in order to afford those solicitors, and of course this will probably drag on, and those people will probably never be sent home, because there are so many cases of this sort where the people are never sent home. Some quite glaring cases. I think there was a case that just sort of springs to mind of where there was some kind of an aircraft hijacked at some point, probably about 5 years or so back, and all the people were eventually arrested, and they were taken into custody, and they, you know, the public opinion at the time was that these people should immediately be either imprisoned or, you know, at the very least sent back where they came from. And yet it was then admitted about a year ago, I think it was, that not a single one of them had been sent back. They were all in this country. They'd all been settled and given indefinite leave to remain or whatever. And so these people know that all they've got to do is to get across the border, and that's it. They're home and dry, effectively. Now, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks or so back the situation that exists with regard to the European Union and Southern Ireland. And, you know, there's all this talk about having to maintain a porous border with Northern Ireland, where there are no actual fixed checkpoints or anything of that sort. And it would not surprise me at all if there was not a continuous flow of migrants once they've got the ability to reside within the European Union, that they're just hopping on to the first ferry that takes them across to Southern Ireland, and then they're just walking across the border and then getting a ferry from Belfast across to the north of England. I would think that's probably happening, you know, as we speak, and there are probably dozens of people arriving every day via that route, because, you know, that's that, the European Union. Well, the countries of the European Union on the continent are, once migrants have been allowed to live there for a length of time, they're being granted passports and being granted the right to travel anywhere they want to within the European Union. And as we know, you know, there are no border checks between Northern and Southern Ireland. So, you know, it's got to be happening, hasn't it?
Once they're into Europe, they can travel anywhere they like because of that Schengen agreement. And apparently, once they're in British waters, which is 15 miles from the British coast, once they're in British waters, then we have to look after them, apparently. They can claim to be refugees and fleeing war, and this is the first country that they've come to. Never mind the fact they've already come from a dozen different countries. Never mind the fact that they're actually fleeing from France, which is not at war, but they'll claim that this is the first country that they came to. And because they're in British waters, we apparently have to take them in. I mean, the latest craze is to say that they're from Iran for some reason, probably because America keeps speaking out against Iran. So they think if they claim that they are Iranian citizens and they're fleeing the war in Iran, or fleeing the oppressive state in Iran, that Britain will think, oh, they're liberal and they're progressive and we should accept them as refugees. Because we've had a spate of them turning up on British shores over the last month, and I've got an article here on it. Boat migrants crossing the Channel must be sent straight back to France to avert a tragedy, according to a former senior Home Office official. David Wood, who was head of immigration enforcement, warned lives would be lost unless the government adopted a new approach. There were a further 34 attempted crossings overnight yesterday, bringing the total number rescued from the Channel since November to 300. And there's been 82 just since Christmas Day. It is feared people smugglers are targeting the holiday period because they believe there will be fewer patrols. Just one cutter is patrolling UK waters, aided by two smaller craft. We have to stop this, or it will grow and grow. It will escalate. The answer is to return them to France as soon as they are picked up, Mr. Wood said. If we did that straight away, they would realise that paying £5,000 to the people smugglers would achieve nothing. Now, he's the head of immigration enforcement. There's also somebody else. There's a Tory MP, Charlie Elphick, I believe he's the MP for Dorset, and he's been saying, look, they have to be sent back to France. But so far, Sajid Javid has said nothing about actually sending them back to France. He's headed over there to France to have talks with his opposite over there. But as far as I can see, they're just talking about rescuing these people. They're saying that they want to have more of these boats because that will help. But if they bring more boats, then they're just going to end up picking up more of them and rescuing them, because this cutter that they're talking about, that's all they do is they just rescue these people when they're trying to invade whatever country it is, whether it's the Mediterranean or now it's Britain that this is happening to. And I have to wonder why this is really happening now. And I think maybe it's, you know, maybe France is turning a blind eye to it as punishment for Brexit. That's one possible thing that it could be. They're saying that it's because the weather is calm, or maybe it's just that this has been going on and they've actually been able to land their vessels without anybody picking up on it. And it's just that it's being picked up on now. But there's been a massive increase of it, as I say, since November.
But what there must have also been a massive increase in the sale of inflatable boats. And it must all be, you know, taking place in and around Calais, because that's where most of these ships boats are sailing from. And so it must be an incredibly simple thing for the French police to just inquire as to who is buying all of these inflatable boats, and to then just arrest the people and question them and discover who it is that's supplying the people smugglers with the equipment that they need to smuggle people across. And you know, the fact that these sort of things aren't being done, and there are news reports of from British reporters that have been going to these camps in Calais and who are reporting that the people smugglers are just openly walking around, you know, some of them carrying guns, some of them carrying swords apparently, and arranging to take money off of these migrants. And you know, I find it just incredible that these migrants that are supposed to be so like penniless, etc., are able to pay 4,000 or 5,000 euros at a time just, you know, to get them across the channel. You know, that they're supposed to have paid similar amounts of money to be got across the the Mediterranean. So they somehow seem to be able to accumulate, you know, not sort of king's ransom amounts of money, but you know, £4,000 or £5,000, €4,000 or €5,000 isn't an amount to be sniffed at. It's the sort of money that lots of working class British people couldn't readily get their hands on, and yet these migrants who are supposed to have nothing and no means of supporting themselves are supposed to be travelling all the way across the next continent of Africa. And somehow they've got these amounts of money, and they're supposed to be coming from countries where, you know, the standard of living is incredibly poor, where the gross domestic product per capita is incredibly low, and yet they've got these seemingly quite large amounts of money that they're then able to pay the people smugglers with. And this whole thing, and that smacks of, in my opinion, there's a certain amount of disingenuousness on the part of most of the people involved, the people that are reporting on it, the police who are supposed to be preventing this from happening, the border force that's supposed to be preventing this from happening. But what are these people doing? You know, if somebody appointed me the head of the border force, as I said, if somebody had appointed me the head of immigration enforcement, you know, I would know all these things. I would know, you know, why it is these people have got this money. Where did they get their money from? Who is sailing in the boats? And it must be the simplest thing in the world to track down these people smugglers. You know, if reporters from the Daily Mail can identify the people that are walking around in these camps with guns and swords, then it must be a piece of cake for the French police to do the same thing and then just arrest them and take them away. So there's collusion in this invasion by the authorities, by, you know, just about everybody involved, effectively. And that's the most depressing thing about this, the fact that there obviously is collusion, and there obviously is no real effort being made. It's just lip service that's being paid. No real effort is being made to defend this country in the way that it was defended during the Second World War. You know, when you consider, you know, when the British government actually wanted to stop any German spies or any German troops from being able to cross the Channel and invade this country, then they took serious steps to make sure that it didn't happen. But now we can see that, you know, there are no serious steps that have been taken. There are no serious amounts of resources that have been devoted towards, you know, protecting our country, because they just do not regard this invasion, you know, that there is no other word for it, from taking place, that they've got no will to prevent it, because at the end of the day, as we all know, that's exactly what the authorities in this country want. They want as many non-European immigrants to come to Britain as possible, and it's all part of a process of the progressive replacement and displacement of the indigenous British people, and it's absolutely disgusting. It's a scandalous, disgusting situation to exist.
Yeah, they're moving around of various populations. They say, oh, well, one country is overpopulated, so we'll just take all their excess population and dump it off in a country that isn't so well populated. And the countries that aren't so well populated now are now starting to be bursting at the seams, and all the resources are going to the incomers. You're saying there about how they can afford this. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they're all involved in organized crime. And that's why they're leaving the country that they're actually in, and that's why they're claiming asylum, because they're wanted by the police. They can't actually go back to the countries that they've come from because they've committed a load of crimes. I mean, I've actually been to the Middle East, and when I was talking to the people there, they said that the people that come to your country from ours are the absolute worst of the worst. They're all the criminals. They're all the people that we don't want in our country. They leave ours to come to yours, and they can't come back because they're wanted by the police. And this was about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago that I was told this, and it can't be any different now. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that's where this money is coming from. And also, the more we invest in the third world, the more we raise up the living standards in a country there, the more of their excess population they send into Europe. If you look at the very poorest countries, we don't get that many people that come from them. It's the countries that, if you look at Libya, for instance, a very, very oil-rich country, and that's where it's all coming from, in particular, from there. Getting back to this article here, criticising the Home Office's handling of the crisis, Mr. Wood told the Daily Telegraph, as far as organised crime is concerned, it has de-risked their business. They know they don't have to get right across the channel and land. They can now get halfway across, and the migrants will be taken the rest of the way. Given that the immigrants travelled from France, it would not be unlawful if the French agreed. In theory, under the Dublin Agreement, there are circumstances when immigrants can be returned to France, even when landed in the UK. Britain's border force, coast guards, and lifeboats are being used as a taxi service for the migrants. There will be a hue and cry when a boat full of 12 migrants sinks and they die. And this is what needs to be done. They just need to be sent back to France. That's where they come from. They've got no right to claim that they are fleeing war when they've pushed the boats off from France where there is no war. And another alternative to this is the Australian alternative. And in Australia, they said anyone that lands illegally in Australia and claims refugee status will not get refugee status in Australia. They will be taken to a safe house on the island of Papua New Guinea. And they've got a tented camp there on Papua New Guinea, which is for these people that claim to be refugees that take an illegal route into Australia. And that stopped all of the illegal immigration into Australia from these boats, because they had a problem there. They had people traveling all the way from Africa to Australia, and once they set foot in Australia, they said, oh, we're fleeing war and poverty in Africa. When they passed by 50 or 60 different countries on the way that they had actually passed through before they actually got to Australia. So they put them in these camps on the Isle of Papua New Guinea, and that just stopped the invasion, full stop. So it is possible to do. I mean, we could say to one of these countries in Africa, look, in exchange for foreign aid, give us some of your land, we can put a tent city there, and maybe that would even prevent some of them from trying to make it all the way to Britain. They just go straight to this tent city, and you could say, well, you can stay there. And you could have it policed by the British so that you didn't have the rape problem that they have in these refugee camps that they have in Africa. The problem is there's no will to actually deal with this, as you say, Max, because it conforms to their plan to replace the European people and cause the European people to miscegenate with them, the Kudinova-Kologi plan, because it actually carries out that plan, there's no will for them to actually do anything about this. And then you get these politicians like this Mr. Wood that is scratching his head and saying, you know, I don't understand this. Why is the government not doing anything about this? And it's because he's probably unaware of the Kudenova-Gologhi plan. He's unaware of these EU directives and these UN directives. And he's just thinking, how can we allow this to happen? Because this is, as he says, there will be a hue and cry once a boat full of them sinks and dies. But of course, then what they'll do, instead of saying, well, we must stop this, there'll be calls for boats to just ferry them across into Britain. What has to happen is they have to be taken back over there to France, which is where they've come from, and then that will put a stop to it. I mean, you've got, go on.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was already some kind of a non-governmental organisation in northern France that actually provides the migrants with a grant, and they'll probably call it like travel assistance or something like that, actually provides them with the money that they then give to the people smugglers to smuggle them across the channel.
Now, that wouldn't surprise me either. Charities that are doing that. I mean, you've got people like that, Israel Aid or whatever it is, that are over there in Greece welcoming people that are invading Greece, and they give them maps and mobile phones and information on how to claim benefits. It's only a little step further from that to giving them help to obtaining a boat to make their way over to Britain, isn't it, really?
That's right. And it would be an interesting topic for an investigative journalist. So if there are any investigative journalists listening from any of the major news media channels or from any of the major newspapers, this would be an interesting thing to investigate, to find out if there are any NGOs that are giving grant money to prospective migrants in order to facilitate the immigration into Europe, across the Mediterranean, and also into the UK. And if you discover that there is, then please publish the information, or you know, make it available to us, and I'll publish it on the Western Spring website.
That's the sort of thing that Lauren Southern has the financial backing to do things like that. She's done a few investigations that require funds. I mean, that would require funds to do. But getting back to this article here, I mean, it explains that also with these first boats that have been coming over, they've also had so-called children on them. So that's which I think is probably done purposefully, so that it looks to the media in Britain, oh, that there's children on these boats, these children are being threatened, they could be capsized, and they're probably not even related to the people that are actually on these boats, because we know they like to use them as human shields. We've seen that enough times happening. But Tim Lofton, a senior Tory MP on the Commons Home Affairs Committee, last night said Home Office resources have been drained by Brexit preparations and fixing mistakes made with the Windrush generation. Well, what's more important, you know, protecting our borders or sucking up to Negroes that didn't have enough forethought to make sure that they actually had a British passport to show that they deserve to actually live in Britain? I mean, he's saying there, we've been wasting our time, you know, sort of fanning around with these old Windrush Negroes instead of actually protecting the country. He suggested that more Coast Guard cutters were needed to avoid the impression of being a soft touch again. But that's just it. Those cutters are just there to rescue these boats. That will give the impression that we are a soft touch. The people on these boats that get picked up need to be taken straight back to France. Immigration Minister Caroline Noakes admitted that the numbers were deeply concerning, and she blamed organised gangs. It's not the organised gangs that are to blame. It's the government that are to blame for not sending them back to France. In the latest cases, 5 Iranian men, 1 woman, 2 boys and a girl were found on the beach at Sandgate near Folkestone in the early hours. Coast Guards spotted their boat. The children were handed over to social services and the adults were transferred to immigration forces. So straight away, they're being given all the welfare, all the provisions that they need. The first thing that they do, I've been following this today as well, one of the first things they do is they give them a medical. They take them to the hospital and they get treatment on the NHS for whatever illnesses, diseases, injuries that they have. And then they put in their asylum claims or whatever. And if they fail with their asylum claims, they're still allowed to stay here while they appeal. And all the funds for that comes from the legal aid. So it's us that end up paying for all of it. And none of these people have been sent back, which is the only way to actually deter this. The Home Office itself failed to respond to questions from the Mail on whether there had been fewer Border Force patrols during the Christmas break. But we know now that there was just one boat that was patrolling, but that boat is just going to rescue these other boats anyway that are invading. Conservative MP for Dover, Charlie Elphick, called on the Home Office and the NCA to get more involved, demanding that authorities get a grip and step up patrols by cutters in the Channel. Immigration's Minister Mrs. Noakes blamed illegal people smugglers for some of the recent dangerous crossings, adding that British and French police were working together 24 hours a day, and the National Crime Agency was working to stop people smuggling at source. But none of that's working. And as you explained, Max, how difficult is it to stop this when all you've got to do is just stop these boats from being sold over there? But this Charlie Elphick is pretty good. He's saying that they need to be sent back to France along with...
It's a similar situation to what existed a couple of decades or more back, probably as many as 3 or 4 decades back now, with the sort of alleged war against recreational drugs in this country, when we have various members of the police stepping forward and saying, oh, there's absolutely nothing that can be done, we're doing our best, and yet we can't stop these drugs like marijuana, etc., being distributed amongst our young. And yet it was possible to sit in, because I can remember as a young man sitting in a pub in Luton and just watching people coming in and giving money to a guy who was then giving them little packets of drugs in tin, wrapped in tin foil, and then walking out. It was like a constant flow. And I telephoned the police, and the police said, thank you very much for the information, and they did absolutely nothing. And several weeks later, I remember being in the same pub and then seeing the same thing still happening. There was no real effort on the part of the police and the criminal justice system to stamp out the importation and the distribution of drugs in this country, just as there is no real effort on the part of the border force or our police forces or our military to stopping people from illegally coming into this country. And it is just disgusting that successive governments have allowed this kind of a situation to continue for as long as they have. And it's been going on for so long now that it isn't just inefficiency and ineptitude on the part of a number of individuals. It's been going on for so long, this kind of thing, going on for decades, as I say. It has to be an organised conspiracy on the part of our politicians at Westminster in order to subvert the country through drugs and through illegal immigration.
Now, we've also, as you said, because of what happened in the Second World War, we've already got the infrastructure there for people to be watching on the beaches, for volunteers to say, well, we can see this on the radar. And then they could go out there, they could get them, just take them back to France. It's starting as a trickle now before it becomes a torrent, I think. I mean, just since November, there's been a huge increase in it. As the full scale of the problem emerged, it was revealed that yesterday alone, at around 9:30, 9 migrants, including 3 children, were detained near Battery Point near Sandgate in Kent after crossing the English Channel in a dinghy. At 1:45 a.m., French authorities stopped a boat containing 11 would-be migrants in a small boat off Sangat in northern France and returned the passengers to Boulogne. So why can't we take the ones that are nearer to England back over there to France, meet them in the middle and return them to Boulogne? I don't know. At 8:30 a.m, a small inflatable craft containing 6 adult male migrants was met by UK Border Force officers on Shakespeare Beach in Dover. And at 8:45, 8 men in a dinghy off the coast of Dover were stopped by immigration officers. Charlie Elphick, Conservative MP for Dover, has demanded that authorities get a grip on Christmas crossings, and he has asked why the National Crime Agency, often called Britain's FBI, did not seem to be more involved. He said, with well over 100 migrants having broken into Britain in recent weeks, nice that he's using the same language as us, broken into Britain in recent weeks, the Home Office and NCA need urgently to explain what they are doing to put a stop to these crossings. This is an incredibly dangerous crossing to make in the middle of winter. Our volunteer lifeboat crews are being called out nearly every day. I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if they are doing this deliberately, hoping that a boat will sink, which will encourage there to be more rescue boats put in the channel, and then they'll send a flood of invasion vessels across. You know, I do believe that they are that cynical that they would be hoping for something like that to happen. Continuing with what he says here, our volunteer lifeboat crews are being called out nearly every day. What a waste of our lifeboat crews' time when they're needed to patrol the waters for our own boats that get into trouble, not people that are deliberately getting into trouble, like these people traffickers. The British and French authorities must get a grip and find and stop the traffickers before there is a tragedy. He added, it's time the Home Office took this problem more seriously and stepped up resources along the Kent coast with more cutters and patrol craft. We need to see more investment in stronger borders all the way along our coast. And then it's got a bit about the money that's involved here. It emerged last month that people smugglers are charging migrants up to £13,000 each to cross the channel by dinghy. One family of would-be asylum seekers was charged £40,000 for the dangerous nighttime sea crossing.
And these people are claiming that they're escaping from persecution and from poverty. And yet, you know, £40,000 there, again, I repeat what I said earlier on. You know, I was talking then of only sort of £5,000 or £6,000, but here we're talking about £40,000 being paid by an asylum seeker family when, you know, there were a large numbers of working class British people that would find it very difficult to lay their hands on even £5,000, let alone £40,000. And these supposedly destitute people that are coming from a country where they're blighted by poverty have got £40,000 to pay to the criminal gangs that are taking them across the channel. And so it just makes the whole thing, the whole thing is just a fabrication. It's a farce. You know, my belief is that all this is being done with the tacit approval of the authorities. And that, as I say, I'm sure that there will be NGOs that have been set up either by in conjunction with our own government or in conjunction with the French and the Italian and well, perhaps not the Italian so much now, but with other European governments where grants are being given to the migrants that end up in their countries to help them make their way to the promised land, which obviously is a soft touch Britain. And as I say, the whole thing is just absolutely scandalous that this is being allowed to happen. You know, if there was one person who the government didn't want to actually come to our country, you know, perhaps it might be somebody who's regarded as a right-wing speaker from America or from somewhere on the continent who wanted to come and speak at a private meeting where they wouldn't cause any bother and they would then go home again afterwards. The authorities could muster enough people to make sure that that one person didn't get into the country, and yet they can't muster the resources necessary to stop a flood of migrants in the way that we've been describing. And as I say, it is just a scandalous situation that exists, and the public need to wake up about because there are various reports that. Immigration makes a country wealthy, which is absolute rubbish. Immigration doesn't make a country wealthy. If you have got a household of people and you have got a household income of, let's say, £40,000 a year, and there are eight people living in that house already, and another two people come to live in that house, then there's a reduction from £5,000 a year per capita that's spent on each of the 8 people living in that house, down to £4,000 per capita being spent once there's 10 people living in that house. So having people come into a country is exactly the same as having people come into a house where there is no increase in household income. The money that comes into the household and the money that is generated within the country as their gross domestic product is just spread over a larger number of people. And people who come into a country illegally are effectively stealing the benefits of living in Britain. And so they should be regarded, in my view, as people who, as criminals, because of the fact that they are stealing the benefits of living in Britain by gaining illegal entry into our country. And that's the way that we should view them.
It's theft of our heritage. That's why I say I like the way this Elphick here is talking about breaking into Britain. But it is just a complete mockery to claim that they are fleeing poverty when they're paying out all this money. But besides that £40,000 for the night crossing, so-called agents have already charged families to reach the French coast. Many fly from Iran to countries such as Serbia or Turkey before being smuggled across borders to make overland journeys across Europe. People traffickers then demand a further fee to get them to British soil. Individuals pay as much as £13,300 a head to board rubber dinghies for the freezing night journey. So you've also got the cost of actually getting from somewhere like Iran into Europe. Then you've got the £40,000 nighttime sea crossing, and then they'll turn up and say, well, we're fleeing poverty or we're fleeing war. Both of those stories cannot be true. There's no war in France, and they've obviously got money to be able to afford this. But we've also got some more information on here about why this is happening. Why illegal migrants are being brought ashore and apparently having asylum claims processed when making reckless sea crossings from safe and wealthy countries like France and Belgium, endangering British lifeboat crews as well as themselves and any dependents they bring with them, is not always clear to the British public. However, Henry Bolton, former head of the Borders Unit at the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe, who would later go on to become UKIP leader for a very brief period, explained to Breitbart London in 2017 that within the EU, the British government cannot simply deport migrants arriving from another EU member state back across the border. Instead, EU regulations mandate that migrants must be sent back to the first EU country they entered. And if this cannot be determined, the receiving country is generally stuck with them. Christopher Chope, another Tory MP, introduced an illegal immigrants criminal sanctions bill to Parliament in 2016, which would have deterred migrants by imposing prison terms of up to 6 months or a £2,000 fine for illegal entry to Britain or overstaying a visa, followed by deportation. However, the government, under then Prime Minister David Cameron, said the bill was not necessary and that deportation was no answer to illegal immigration via safe countries. And it does not seem to have changed this stance under current leader Theresa May. So there was a solution that was put forward 2 years ago that the government just turned down. And that gives us the explanation there for why they're not actually being sent back. Because if they say, well, we don't know where we come from, the receiving country is then going to be stuck with them when they should be being sent back straight away to France. Well, I've also got some responses to this. We've got Diane Abbott's response. Labour's Diane Abbott claimed boat patrols may have to be increased to assist migrants crossing the French border from Calais to come to the UK on dangerous boat journeys. The Shadow Home Secretary told BBC Radio 4 Today programme she would consider increasing boat patrols in British waters to assist migrants trying to get to Britain. She said the focus has to be, at the end of the day, saving lives. The idea that we don't save lives as some kind of disincentive to making the crossing is quite wrong. We need to stop them making the crossing in the first place. Asked which provisions she would implement where migrants do make dangerous crossings to reach the UK, and whether she would increase boat patrols in the Channel, she replied, "It may be that we should be increasing the patrols, but that's only a palliative. You have to stop making the crossing in the first place. And you have to recognise that once they're in British waters, they are entitled to claim asylum." She added, "We need to work with the French to work with these people and advise them on what their real options are." Now, that is a real warning of what would happen if Labour were to take power. Diane Abbott would be increasing the rescue ships and would probably go one step further and just start ferrying them across and institute a ferry service from France into Britain. I mean, this is quite
and a shocking. Public service to advise them of what their options are, and to presumably advise them as to ways of circumventing the rules and regulations pertaining to the welfare state.
I mean, she's saying here that, I mean, we have to recognise once they're in British waters, they're entitled to claim asylum, and she pretty much wants to encourage them to do that by providing all these rescue ships. But not to worry, because Sajid Javid has it all under control. Home Office officials said Mr. Javid, the Home Secretary, had taken control of the response to the rising number of migrants attempting to cross the Channel in small boats. It added there was concern that it is only a matter of time before people lose their lives. Why isn't there any concern that our country is being invaded? The concern is all about the people breaking into Britain. There's no concern whatsoever for the British people here. Home Secretary Mr. Javid has held a conference call with Border Force officials, Immigration Enforcement and the National Crime Agency. The department said he has insisted the Home Office treat the situation as a major incident and has appointed a gold commander and asked for daily updates. The Home Secretary has also asked for an urgent call with his French counterpart over the weekend to reaffirm the continuing need for the UK and France to work closely together to tackle the problem. He has also commissioned detailed options from Border Force about the provision of additional vessels in the Channel, including another Border Force cutter, and whether this is likely to encourage more people to try and make the crossing rather than act as a deterrent. It's never going to act as a deterrence if it doesn't actually deter the people by sending them back to France. If these vessels, these Border Force vessels, if all they ever do is rescue boats and bring them back to England, then that's not going to be any deterrent whatsoever. And I do find it shocking here that all these people seem to be concerned about, apart from, even including this Tory MP, Elphick, all they seem to be concerned about is the welfare of the people that are invading Britain. There's no concern for the indigenous British people or even just the British citizens here. And he's saying he's taken control of this, but he's done nothing but appoint a gold commander, whatever that means. I mean, Javid does like to say, he don't worry, I've taken control, and then he does nothing at all. And he's quite an incompetent Home Secretary, besides not even being white. What do you think of Diane Abbott's response to this and Sajid Javid's, Max?
Well, I think Diane Abbott's response is pretty much what we would have expected. And again, really, what Sajid Javid has done as well is
pretty similar,
typical. As you say, that they're just facilitating further incursions into Britain by asylum seekers and migrants instead of preventing it. And so, you know, Sajid Javid has stated that he's taken control, and yet to try and give the impression that there's no need for us to worry because, you know, he's there and he's taking control, when in reality, him taking control means that instead of there being greater resources being applied to stopping people from coming into our country, what's happening is that greater resources are being given to the agencies that are facilitating people coming into our country. And so it is the opposite of what, you know, he implies. And so when he says he's taken control of the situation, you know, we shouldn't take comfort from that. We should actually become more alarmed, because it means that the numbers of immigrants will be increasing as a result of it, and it's the same doublespeak that we've had for decades, really, where people have been initially counted as immigrants and then they changed their name and started to call them asylum seekers. So it then appeared over a period of time that the number of immigrants was decreasing because the number of people counted as immigrants was less. But in reality, what, you know, the increased number of immigrants were actually being counted as asylum seekers. And then when people got wise to that, then asylum seekers became called migrants. That's why they keep changing the title that they give them to you know, under the pretext that they're becoming more and more politically correct. But in reality, it's just being done to fudge the issue and to fudge the statistics so that they can claim for some period of time that they're actually getting the numbers down, when in reality, they're not doing anything of the sort. And as I say, I would not surprise me one jot if it turned out that our government, together with other governments in the European Union, were colluding with the gangs that are bringing the migrants across in order to facilitate it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there were not some NGOs or even governmental organisations that are actually donating money to NGOs that are then donating the money to the migrants in order to give them the money to buy their passage. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, quite obviously, with the amounts that we were talking about earlier on, the £13,000 a head and the £40,000 paid, you know, by a single family to get across the channel, these migrants, these are not poor, destitute migrants that are fleeing poverty, even sort of mild poverty. They're not fleeing poverty at all by that standard, and they very, very rarely are ever actually fleeing a proper war zone, and they're passing through lots of safe countries before they get to us. And as I say, the whole thing is just a scandalous farce and a criminal act against the interests of the British people, where our own government is facilitating the theft of the benefits of living in Britain from our people, and giving that to people who have got no right to it and who are entering our country illegally.
Well, the army and the navy are on standby, and yet there's no mention of using them. And when the Home Office says, "Don't worry, we've got it all under control, the government's got it under control," they should be getting in touch with the army and the navy, and the navy should be patrolling. And if necessary, they can pick them up and take them back to France. I mean, we'd all really like to see the army and the navy treating it like an invasion and deterring these vessels, firing a few warning shots. You know, that would stop the people smugglers. And it wouldn't surprise me if the people that are facilitating it, these people smugglers, if they are white traitors. I mean, if they got all the way to France, and then you've got people there that are arranging for them to make it to England, the chances are it's going to be white people that are doing that rather than black. And that's another aspect to this. When you think of that money that's involved there, thousands and thousands of pounds, and you've got white people that are out of work, huge unemployment rate in France, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there are white people involved. Recently, there was a load of Albanians that were caught, and the people that were involved in that, the smugglers that were involved in that, it was white people that were doing this. I mean, really shameful behaviour. I think there were white British people that were actually doing it, that were facilitating this. And you wonder just how many they managed to smuggle in before they were actually caught. But that's what needs to be done about this. They need to get the Navy involved. And the Army have said that they are actually on standby. They just need to be called up, and they could easily mobilise volunteers on the beaches to keep checking the radar to see that any vessels that were actually out there at sea were known to us, known to the Coast Guard, and they should actually be there. And then they should just, if any of them shouldn't be there, then they should just send out a Navy vessel, one of their little speedboats or whatever, to pick them up, take them back on board the vessel, and take them straight back over to France. Straight back over to France to be processed. They can make their claim in France, and if necessary, we could pay France some money to actually do this. I think that would be preferable to just allowing them to break into the country, because it is just like breaking into breaking into your home. And instead of deterring people from breaking into your home, what they're doing is they're just opening the front door for them, welcoming them in, laying out the welcome mat, pouring them a cup of tea, offering them biscuits, tending to their wounds, bending over backwards for them. I mean, you really don't get more obvious treason being carried out against the British people than what is going on here. And, you know, the difference between Sajid Javid's response to it and Diane Abbott's response to it, you know, there really is no difference at all. Sajid Javid is talking about bringing more of these boats in, but he's concerned it may encourage more. That's the only difference, because Diane Abbott is talking about bringing more boats in. She's more concerned about the welfare of the people on these boats than the British people. So there's only a very slim difference between the two of them, I think.
Well, what we've got is people of immigrant descent who are now in control of our immigration process. And, you know, just as, you know, if you have a cattle rustler placed in charge of the security of your cattle, you shouldn't be surprised if cattle start disappearing, should you? And so we shouldn't really be surprised if, when we've got people of immigrant descent in charge of our immigration process, if our immigration process doesn't, surprise, suddenly become very soft and overly concerned with facilitating further immigration.
The chimps are in charge of the zoo. This is why we need to have an ethnostate. We need to have white people speaking up for our interests, because you cannot expect other races to be speaking up for our interests. They will always be looking out for their own interests. It's only natural. And now we're seeing the end results of 70 years of this, where the country is being flooded by these people. And instead of them coming in through official routes like they were 20 years ago, now they're washing up right on our beaches in their dinghies. You know, something has to be done about this soon, and it's only us nationalists that are providing the real alternative, which is to send them back. All the rest of them are just talking about worrying about these boats capsizing. It's only nationalists that are actually worried about the effect that it's going to have on the British people. Max, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for coming on today. Happy New Year for tomorrow. And Happy New Year to our listeners. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with more Aryan Britannia for you. And of course, we do hope you have a great week ahead of you.
Alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.